Hello, my name's Dorothy Gould. I'm someone who's lived experience both of mental trauma and of using mental health services and detention. I'm going to talk about the review of the Mental Health Act 1983 and its recommendations from that perspective. The review hopefully provided an opportunity to look really fundamentally at the Act and at recommendations which promote a rights-based and healing approach for people with lived experience. It seemed to start well in the sense that there were quite a few openings for user involvement. For example, although the chair was a leading psychiatrist, one of the three vice chairs was a black man with experience as a mental health service user. A service user and carer group was set up, and service user views were sought through a survey and through focus groups. However, many user-led organisations and individual service users, including myself, became concerned about the review from very early on, and in partnership with them, I set up a campaign for significant changes. One issue was the continued use of a dominant diagnostic model for understanding mental trauma. However, not only are there growing questions about the scientific evidence for this model, and so about the validity of the Mental Health Act, but many of us, including myself, find that the model just doesn't help us to understand and work through problems which we have. Another issue was that many service users are unaware that there are also legal alternatives to the Mental Health Act 1983 and have no knowledge of the rights-based approach represented by the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, the UNCRPD. Those of us involved in the campaign asked for information about other options to be circulated so that service users contributing their views to the review were in a position to make informed choices, but this was refused. We welcomed the review's emphasis on racialised groups, young people, and people with learning difficulties, although we also had concerns about the effectiveness of recommendations made. However, we found the review recommendations discriminatory in their lack of focus on issues for other groups of service users who experienced more than one form of discrimination, on issues for women, older people, and people who identify as lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender, for instance. We campaigned strongly for recognition that sectioning, forced treatment, and community treatment orders represent major breaches of the fundamental human rights set out in the UNCRPD. However, although the review recommendations call for a reduction in the use of compulsion, they allow for continued use of it. This is in the name of protection, yet many of us have ended up still more traumatised as a result of being sectioned. There's also insufficient evidence that it's effective to section people on the basis of potential risk to others, even if it were just to do that. We wanted the review recommendations also to include a strong call for a major increase in alternative, non-medical, user-led and culturally appropriate resources in the community. This was partly because most current options are based on the dominant white Western medical model and bound up with a top-down approach. It was also because an increased range of community resources, and one which covers the full diversity of human needs, is vital if the use of compulsion is to come to an end. However, this request was again refused. For all these reasons, our campaign for justice and for just law continues.